This podcast is brought to you by Steed Motor Group Claregowrie. For your personalised vehicle shopping experience, find out more at steedmotorgroup.ie.
So, well, happy new year to all the listeners of the podcast. We're back. The inter-county season is approaching for the Galway Senior Hurlers and the Galway Senior Footballers as well. It's Walsh Cup and FBD League just before the National Hurling League and National Football Leagues gets underway. Do you get excited around this time of year, Mart?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's a funny time in my industry anyway, working the job where you still feel kind of latched in last year, especially with Thomas is involved at the minute, and you're even planning for the two All-Ireland Club semi-finals in the football this weekend. So that's still kind of preoccupying your brain, but at the same time you're starting to look ahead to what's coming down the tracks. And definitely once you start to see, you know, Sigerson and Fitzgibbon squads and start to a bit of soft talk about what's happening in the different panels and different training things, this does get the pulse racing a small bit for what is to come. So yeah, you can't help but getting excited for the year. And I suppose also just from a Galway specific basis, this time of the year is funny. And I think I might have said it to you last year as well. It's the same every single year that for whatever reason, Galway are a lot of people's darlings. I think I've heard predictions for all four Galway teams to win on an Ireland this year. You know, you listened off the ball yesterday and they're talking about Galway footballers being their dark horses. I was reading the Irish Times, they did a sporting predictions for 2024. Within that, you tips for a double, a Camogie and hurling double. Malachy Clarkin, I think, said that he expects Galway to get back to the final and beat Limerick to stop the drive for five. And so for whatever it is that you hear talk about, will there from Claire and Clonburn's run, will that have a bounce for the ladies, and were they very disappointed with the way that it ultimately finished against Mayo last year? So does that this time of year is funny. There is definitely, for whatever reason, there's a renewed sense of anticipation about what is to come. So yeah, long story short, you would be excited for it, right?
There's obviously a kind of excitement and giddiness around supporters, because I think everyone around this time of year is just trying to figure out who are the new players, who's the players that are kind of going to make the breakthrough.
Yeah, and that's the only natural part. And it's probably complicated as well by the fact that I think a lot of people, even clubs themselves, maybe are struggling to necessarily get a grasp on what is the structure for the football and hurling specifically for making a senior squad. You know, you might get, clubs might announce actually that they have lads, you know, they've got a couple of lads involved with Galway, but they're probably finding hard to differentiate what does it mean to be involved in the development squad versus what does it mean to be involved in the senior squad, especially at the minute when you're in a pre-season block and it seems like there's a lot of mixture between both. So, and that anticipation is probably a good thing. And I would say as well, Galway have been, I think they're conscious of that as a county about how much intrigue and interest there is in the makeup of panels. And you'd have to give them credit. Like last year, I think they were one of the only, I think maybe I counted two Division 1 teams who actually released, they definitely did it before the championship. They do it for the league as well. I can't really remember. But they definitely released a championship squad, every single player and their clubs. And that, I think that matters. Like I'm just looking on social media, but clubs seem to get a huge lift out of being able to celebrate their players and put them out there, and a bit of an acknowledgement of what is a great achievement in terms of playing for your county, being involved. So they seem to be conscious of that too, that there is a huge degree of interest in that. And at the same time, then you've got the other side of it where there's also to talk about who's not there and how is that developing. And some of that has been put to bed long ago. Ian Burke obviously came out and spoke to my newspaper and just explained exactly the situation. So it'll all kind of come to this time of the year now, Paul, as a journalist, you start to pick and choose your battles, and you're trying to plan out I'm trying to plan out the next couple of weeks and what games I'm going to go to. And definitely the first appearance as Manners, whether it be a Walsh Cup or an FBD League game, is always a good one to be there. Not necessarily because of reporting on the game or what happens in it, because of what you'll be able to ask the manager about after, or kind of tie down a couple of loose ends and get a bit of clarity around that. So a lot of the stuff will start to come out in the wash in the next couple of weeks.
If we look at the hurlers first, because they're obviously out this weekend in the Walsh Cup in Dougan Park on Sunday against the losers of Laois and Offaly. That game's on tonight. It's a three-team group. There's a lot of excitement around the hurlers. Eamon O'Shea has been added to the backroom team. It doesn't look like any players have stepped away from last year. There's players that have performed well in the club championship that we've seen before Christmas that played in that Teddy McCarthy Memorial game.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of expectation and a lot of excitement already around the Go Hurlers.
There is, yeah, probably there is and there isn't, I think. I do think the nature of that semi-final was a real sting for Galway, and as I spoke to you about previously, the tenor of some of the conversation around the team and what exactly happened that day, and just carry on that team. That's one I haven't seen. I wasn't at that the Teddy McCarthy game in Parky Cove, so Henry obviously did media after that game, but I wasn't there. The only time I've seen him since, I'd say, is I think I got a glimpse of him. I was at the Old Firm now last Sunday for the Celtic Rangers game. I'm pretty sure I caught a glimpse of him, but I certainly wasn't going to go bother him with that. So I'm looking forward to asking him about that specifically, about what exactly does he think maybe went wrong, especially in that second half. And was he anyway conscious of the criticism of maybe the lad's spirit or character that they did they bend? Because as I said to you previously, I think that criticism has no truck. I just don't see any evidence that that's what happened that day. I think it's kind of, I think a lot of that I think is actually lazy analysis. It was very interesting to me. You look at what happened last semi-final. You look what happened to the final. Very similar thing in terms of how that game started, how it spun, how a team came on top of their puck out, what happened in the second half. But how many people were accusing Kilkenny of lacking stomach or heart or not sticking in? You know, it's interesting when you draw the comparisons between the two. But so that I think that. And I would say that banked a lot, and they'll definitely be trying to learn from that. And then on the flip side, you've also got I think a bit of added intrigue maybe around a couple of things. David Burke's, what he did for Thomas's against Ballygunner, I think suddenly you're thinking, okay, there's a real future here for him on a similar team. I'm not sure everybody was convinced by three last year. You saw TJ Brennan play there against Cork. I actually thought did pretty well. He's going to have a Fitzgibbon campaign now starting in the next couple of weeks with UL too, but the other one then is how Finton played that day, and suddenly you're thinking, okay, like there's a bit of kind of the irony is what we're going to say here for footballers might actually apply to the footballers. What exactly are they going to do with three? Can they? What is going to happen in midfield? Some of that is injury dependent, and what's going to happen on their inside line? So yeah, Emre Şey's addition can only be a benefit. Johnny O'Connor is in there as well. It sounds like he's already making a stamp and kind of doing things slightly differently. So he'd hope to see the benefit of that, maybe whatever this kind of block. I'd say this was a savage block for him. The other thing is, Paul, I'd say they'll hit the ground running for a couple of reasons. The league falls very nicely for them this year. I think Galway might win the league this year actually, because I think they start off with their first four, I think, is they play Westmeath anyway, and then they've Dublin. Their last game is Limerick. So I guess they're going away to Antrim and Dublin.
Second.
Yeah. So obviously you're talking about Westmeath, Antrim, Dublin, three of your first four. Tip is dead or done. That's probably you'd be very reasonably compensated. They could win three of those four. You're going into that Limerick game, then you're coming on a fairly high place. So I'd say that'll carry over nicely. And that maybe that'll change a bit of that tone, a bit kind of a good way to wash out any dirty deeds that is left from what happened in that Limerick game. I'm sure they've dealt into them themselves, but even just from a pure performance perspective, to have something to point to, a bit of evidence would do them no harm.
It's interesting there, you talk about 3 and 6, and it's probably been debated so much around supporters and even for the management, probably thinking already, because obviously you're not going to have the Thomas's back lads back probably to the end of the league. But Shane Cooney's been revitalized this year. He's fit, he's got game time, he's looked really good. And there's already that question, could you play like Shane Cooney in a similar role to the role Declan Hannan plays for Limerick?
Yeah, and I suppose there's two things to that. I know last year maybe there was a lot of debate within the county about what exactly was Dahi Burke's role at six and how unnecessarily secure was it. I didn't think that was as big an issue. I do think to a certain extent, Galway were hamstrung by the fact that a lot of the players who were invested championship minutes in 2022 weren't around to whether that to provide competition or to come into it again in 2023. So if there was a situation where form where Fintan Burke maybe wasn't necessarily as prominent last year, you were kind of hamstrung by the fact that Tiernan Killeen had the injury that he did or kind of struggled to get fit. And this is the guy I would we did a thing in the Examiner, the 24 players to watch for in 2024, and we did it for hurling and football. I was kind of debating whether or not it's fair to put Tiernan in because people might forgot he has obviously just played championship hurling, like he came on against Westmeath in 2022, but had a sensational year that year, carried that form into a geez, I don't know if you remember this time last year. The only thing we're all talking about was his form in the Sigurdsson, and that was what six was. NUIG, exactly in that hand and roll, as you say. Like he was a conductor and orchestrator on that team. And then all that kind of bank of really good work doesn't get to come to fruition because he kind of struggles with fitness, and it ends up hamstringing you a small bit that way. So I think from that perspective, you're kind of trying to you cut your claw to what you have. The fact that now Shane Cooney comes back into the reckon, I definitely think Finton comes into the reckon as three. You still have got, you know, McInerney and Doherty aren't going anywhere, obviously. So you still have got a great option there too. You add into the fact the likes of TJ Brennan, guys who are starting to see Alice Kinnaird, who's been around the setup, who will, I'd say, get a huge amount of game time. And Henry is pretty good for that. I don't think anybody could necessarily accuse him of not trying the panel and trying to see what's out there. You saw the minutes he gave to McLaughlin and Collins last year, and I thought it was great to see Zach Hawk game decides, okay, 2 year back, you're starting inside in the inside line here with Greg Thomas in this, that he's very clearly is trying to get that development in a over a span of time, you know what I mean? Get the minutes into those guys. So all that is about developing options, Paul. And that's, I think, the nature of hurling now. You know, you can latch on to one little cog and think, okay, that's the way forward. And then Declan Hannon gets a very serious leg injury and is limping around after a Munster final, and you end up having to adapt and bring Willie Donoghue back. Rather than trying to invest in one project and that's going to be our future six or that's going to be future three, I think this time of year it's just about getting options. Like, spread your base as wide as possible, get as many players to the level, and then afterwards you can pick and choose around how whatever way you want. But that's the way I would look at it. Rather, I don't think you can invest in one specific player is going to be your answer in this specific position, rather than just trying to spread it as wide as possible.
If even if you look at that Cork game, Keenan Fahey was deployed in the halfback line, and we've seen him play there all year for Ardrahan in the club championship, and he could say at stages he nearly looked more comfortable there than the half forward line.
It was probably that again. I think that was going back to what I was saying a second ago. That was probably dependent on circumstances too. And that I think Keane Fahey is more impactful, especially in club hurling, because of what he has on the edge of the square. When you've got, you know, you've got monsters to stick the hand up and game a ball. And also his work rate is incredible. Like, geez, the amount of ground that he covers. I remember Anthony Nash telling me after the Henry's first championship game was against Wexford, I think, in Wexford Park. And he was on the line. No, but maybe this is 2022, actually. But anyway, he was on the line doing the sideline commentary for Sky Sports when they still had the commentary. And the player that Henry was most on the case and most talked as that game went on was Keane Fahey. That was who he was in his ear for the entire game, trying to get him exactly what he wanted, that kind of up down, that like relentless work rate. You actually saw then he probably took a step forward last year and became, especially when Conor Cooney wasn't in the team, became the primary puck out option. I think the vast majority of puck outs against Limerick were down on top of him, which I suppose was a great thing until it wasn't a great thing and it came against him. So that he has that kind of adaptability. He's in Savage Nick. Like, he's physically, he's probably at that top kind of top tier level now when you consider it's County Hurling. And that's probably something that I would imagine that's something that they're trying to invest in now that with you know, Johnny Connor is there, he wants to make a stamp, he wants to drive them on and that sort of thing. And I suppose on the flip side of that too, it's funny, I'm not gonna give away any state secrets here now, obviously, but I actually got to see the hurlers train there recently, and you got to see a couple of things I thought were good to see. Johnny, you know, his section of the drill, he ran all that, just so the boys were over on the pitch. But they also had the Thomas's lads were just there just doing their own bit of testing on the side. And so there was like but in the heart of it, like when they're doing the physical side of it, Johnny's in the heart of it. He's Johnny O'Connor, this is now, he's in the heart of it. He's drilling that totally. When they're doing the hurling side of it, Eamon O'Shea was in the heart of it. He was drilling that totally. And you would trust in the experts they have there that, you know, you could see that bank of physical work. We'd hopefully see that now this year. Maybe that was an issue that some people identified in that Limerick game, for example, that they probably weren't physically able to compete the same way that they would have been previously. You talk about their style of play. It was all short stick work. What I was seeing, it was all calming the ball, composure, working it through the lines, stuff that we probably didn't see enough of in that Limerick game. So these are, rather than the character stuff and all that kind of nonsense that we heard afterwards, there are two points you can point at. That's evidence, that's stuff we saw from that game, and now it seemed to be they're going about fixing it. You've got two additions there who seem to be going about tackling the two things there. I think that's a positive. The, you know, management is not a good versus bad thing. This stuff happens on a scale. You have to kind of evolve over time, and that seems to be what they're doing.
It's probably one thing they need to, they're probably targeting to get out early, because if you look at when the Fitzgibbon is going to be thrown in on top of this with the hurlers this year, it's like there's a huge amount of Galway hurlers that are going to be playing Fitzgibbon between the Galway colleges, the Limerick colleges, and there's even one or two playing with UCD, Michael Walsh and Donal O'Shea, so they do need to get that added probably earlier than some other teams.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of things to that. Like there's positives in it in that I think I checked this yesterday. There's that in that NUIGT or University College Galway now, that's Fitzgibbon Galway team. I think they've only got two players outside of Galway on their
Yeah.
panel, which is remarkable. And what, like Charlie Mitchell is one of them, your man from Kilkenny is the other. But so like two fine hurlers, but that it's a real testament to the county. And one thing you would learn, Paul, especially in this industry. You know, there's always conflict between intercounty managers and college managers. It's an inevitable thing. It's always there, and maybe sometimes they're reluctant enough to go public about that stuff. But you would learn as you go into games. Managers make it clear who's playing ball with them and who isn't. And I have to say, what you hear about Henry is that he's very, very progressive around letting lads play Fitzgibbon. I actually think Jamie Wall has said on the record that the only intercounty manager who contacted him last year was Henry Shefflin to ring him to talk through what is going on with players and that kind of thing. I think that's a kind of a huge positive. Personally, I think a lot more managers could learn from that. But that goes back to your point earlier. Because of that, because you want to be progressive about it and you want to let lads play, you are inevitably going to have to spin a lot of plates here. And maybe that'll have a knock-on effect for someone like Tiernan Now, for example, who you would love to see play every league game and could he tie down the spot and develop that way? But the reality is he probably can't. Like he probably can't play as much of both while he's involved in both. So you'll have to definitely factor that in. And that's probably why they use the block that they had and that they're kind of keeping tabs on lads. And at the same time, I think actually the Thomas's run will do them nothing but good. Like I do think that they get a huge amount of a positive or that the nature of how they especially the semi-final win, like that I think that is maybe you could go as far as to say there's only a template there that Galway could buy into. So I think that'll be a net positive as well. So yeah, you are going to be trying to balance that. But that's true for every county is facing the same challenge. Someone will go about it different ways and they'll be a lot more reluctant to let lads go and play Fitz. But it seems like Galway are doing it, in my opinion, in the right way.
Just on Thomas's, because you mentioned it there, like you're going to have obviously Shane, Fintan, Connor, and David to obviously all come back in. But two players I'd like to see involved, anyways. Keane Mahoney is someone that hasn't been involved. He just really brings a. He doesn't make it fun for a corner forward, put it that way. He gets physical with them, and he could definitely add something, but. We've talked on the podcast with Jeff Linsky even, and he was saying even before the All-Ireland semi-final that Aina Burke, after his performance against Turlochmore, is definitely something that can add, even if that's starting or coming on for the last 20 minutes even.
Yeah, and like probably Tony has been, I'd say, you know, I'm not gonna say on you here, he's been in and around the setup, he's definitely been in their thoughts before. I have to say, like the thing that really struck me about in his performance the last day, especially was I think he embodied what Thomas did in that game. I thought was really clever, and you want to get into penalties. You don't want to get into pure hindsight analysis, but I do think I'd say their analysis for that game was excellent in terms of conceding. They let that short puck out go. They let if Stephen O'Keefe wanted to hit his full back line, oftentimes he had no other option but to hit his full back line. They were kind of conceding that back. And then they decided, as soon as you come into our zone, into the 45, we're going to savage you. We're going to hit you with vengeance. We're going to keep our six defenders in spot. So rather than get pulled and dragged all over the place, we want to have kind of that set structural defence and not go man to man and let them battle going to do what they do, which is end up kind of running you ragged, pulling you wide open. Now, they still work hard for the two goals, but by and large, they did that very, very well, I thought. So going back to that idea, that only works. Like that, you can only get away with that. If you're tackling, especially high up, you're tackling high up has to be with a vengeance. I mean, you're kind of pushing the line the whole time, and there's been a lot of talk about the refereeing for this game. I personally I think that gave the reason that game was as good as it was is because of the refereeing, the way it was refereed. I that criticism would really annoy me, because if your alternative is we're gonna have a free fest, it's gonna be blown every 4 minutes. So I think you have to have that small bit of leeway. And it's what makes the game what it was. And Aina embodied that. Like, he, Jesus, did whatever about anything else, just his pure, his work rate, his tackling, his stand-up ability. No, he pushes the line, as they all do. He loves the, you know, the hook. I think Limerick get accused as kind of hooking the freehand while you're tackling. So you're really pushing the boundary down. There will be referees who'll pull you for that. But that stuff I think is invaluable, and that's maybe it's not so much what he's doing at the other end of the pitch as what it does for you out of possession. So it's a hard one to find a specific role for, but I think like it's invaluable. If you've got a guy like that, it's invaluable. So yeah, I agree with you. I think there's definitely that in itself is, if you could bottle that and you could get it into every player, we'd all be delighted. Like, because it's not just about, you know, work rate. It's about kind of having the, or it will, to a certain extent it is, but it's more than that. It's having kind of the technical ability to make sure you're going to make life absolutely miserable for anybody who's coming out here. If they come into contact with you, they're going to know all about it without going totally overboard and losing discipline and conceding frees all the time. So he walked that line very, very well, I thought.
It does too. Do you expect to see him involved with Galway later in the year?
I think it's hard. It's really hard if you are a non-established club player, because you have kind of lost a bit of ground. I think it's to make the jump in can be a difficult thing. So ironically, when we talk about this in the footballers in a second, I think it'll stand some of the Carfin lads that they actually went out when they did, in terms of from a Galway perspective, because they could go straight in and they're playing a couple of the challenges over the last couple of weeks, and they won't have that luxury. Now they're still, you know, you can still do a certain amount, as I said to you, you know, the Thomas lads, they still do their tests and they still be there present training, they'll do their gym work, all that kind of stuff. But actually making a real impact, putting up your hand, especially when you're talking about, it's not necessarily a new manager, it's kind of trying to build on what was there previously, can be a very hard thing to do. So they're no doubt good enough, but I'm just not sure if the circumstances of the last couple of weeks will necessarily stand to them in that regard.
In the middle third line, we were looking at it last year. Obviously, Ronan Glennon played a lot there. Thomas Monaghan played a lot there. David Breck's going to come in. In the forwards, a lot of the forwards that were there last year, you expect to be there. But one player everyone wants to see is Jamie Ryan in there, given his early performances last year in the club championship. I think we were talking about him last year as well. But obviously, I think he got a hamstring injury. Area last year, so that kind of really affected him. But is he someone you expect to see?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I would love. I said I don't want to go over all ground here, but I would love to see it. I think he that kind of change. I think Jamie Ryan is definitely an Eamon O'Shea hurler. I'm not sure is he a Henry Shefflin hurler. I'm not sure. But like, even, you know, you look at some of the lads who, a lot of the lads who they've seem to really invested and really trust in, especially around that kind of outside of the inside lines, around that middle zone. The likes of Gavin Lee now, for example, are kind of, I don't know, don't get me wrong, great hurlers, but they're big physical presence. They can make their mark in and out with and without the ball. Something that they're trying to develop definitely is to be that kind of a mean team. That's where hurling has gone now, really. And I suppose everybody is. While they're the top dogs, everybody's looking at Limerick and how do we compete with them. And to a certain extent, it feels like an arms race. You look at, you know, you hear some crazy stories about other, not Galway now, but what other countries are doing with regards to midnight or 1 a.m. trainings and all this kind of stuff. But it is. I think a lot of this is like a physical thing that we're gonna set the tone. We're gonna try and match them that way. Now, as I said to you previously, I'm not necessarily sure if that actually is the answer. Right, it might actually, rather than going pure physical, might be a technical thing, but in that sphere, you're trying to strike that balance, and I'm just not sure if that's where that the thing I do think, because of the nature of that league and those, as I mentioned, you've got three pretty winnable of your first four, you would hopefully see a huge amount of players get involved and get their chance. So whoever puts, if like what I all likely kind of hope is that the likes of Jamie, or maybe a couple of other players that were earmarking here, that the likes of Tiernan would get their chance, and then afterwards, whether if they're taken or not, that's it's the onus is on the player there. But if I you'd hope they might be to get the shot window, to get the opportunity to play a couple of games to build on it, and fingers crossed, then that leads into a chance. And even that, it's not an experimentation, that's not what I'm saying, but that rotation will carry into the Leinster Championship because of the nature of that as well. I think, I remember in Henry's first year, I think he only used kind of 19 different starters. That figure bumped by 4 or 5 in a second year, I would actually expect to see a similar thing happen again now. Like, I think that you will start to expand that out. That goes back to what I was saying earlier, is but it's just all you want now is more options. Like, if you can do that, if you can make your life misery to pick a team, I think you're doing your job right.
I'm probably going to sound like a bit of a broken record here now, but anyone we've had on the podcast where we talked like last year about 2024 said, like, for the state of the year goal, I kind of nearly need to forget about the All-Ireland. And they said it's absolutely vital to win the Leinster. I mean, you
Yeah.
consider what happened last year, like, that's, I think that's the most important thing of 2024.
But I think there's two, it's twofold factor. There's a silverware element, and like, there's a couple of things here. Like, Galway's record in Croke Park is awful. Like, geez, it is since, in reality, since the All Ireland, it's been desperately poor. And you've got the psychological baggage of everything that went on with the first Leinster final and all that handshake nonsense and all that kind of thing, and then the psychological damage of the way that last year's Leinster final finished. A really simple way of putting that to bed and just making sure it's buried, it's not going to carry over, is by winning a Leinster title. I definitely think silverware is starting to matter now. Not necessarily, it's all, ultimately, it's all about one cup, but just from a reassurance perspective, know you're on the right path, that you even a very simple thing, okay, we have clearly achieved more than we did last year because we got over the line here. I think that really matters. So I do think that psychologically there's a lot to be said for just getting over the line, just winning the cup, winning a bit of silverware. It's a pretty easy point of improvement. It's it counts for you down the line. It make your life, I think it makes life a lot easier when you cast forward to planning for a from semi-final. We're starting to see that now, is that I think Clare probably suffered a bit from what happened in their provincial final. Galway bounced back well, last year, and it definitely did stand them. But I thought they seemed to be running on empty towards the end of that Limerick game to a certain extent. So it would just make your life a lot easier psychologically. It would count for a lot. It'd be a great thing for a lot of these players to have another medal in their pockets. I'm sure someone will tell you any different. So yeah. Going over all ground, as you say, but I couldn't agree with you more. Just it is kind of the imperative is your number one priority is just make sure that that happens.
Just before we finish on the hurlers, because obviously Bix in here talking about the hurlers and the footballers for 2024, what's the biggest area that they need to improve on for this season?
Oh, good question. I think it's a style of play. I do think, Paul. And I think they seem to be addressing that, and Éamon O'Shea's influence will only add to that. But I do think that they did not demonstrate enough capability to play through the lines, to mix it short and long against Limerick, and that ultimately cost them. And when you're able to go long and you're making hay and it's really working, but then suddenly their half back line just totally withdraws. Like, they take a 5 or 7 senior deck. They do what, ironically, they do nearly what Thomas did, and they say, we're going to keep our six defenders in spots here. We're going to have that set defence. Now, can you play through us? Because suddenly, you go long to go short, you go short to go long. They're related things. One influences the other. Even though psychologically, a team, if you start to go short and make a bit of success of that, a team is forced to kind of press up a bit more, and then you can go long again. But if you don't have that capability, and to my mind, I'm watching that day in Croke Park, Galway didn't. So that's the thing you're trying to evolve. And I know I've said this before, but there's nobody who tell me that there's the hurlers who are there, or I'm watching club teams in this county who can easily play that way, who I know who they have the capability to do that. So that is absolutely the competency and the ability to play hurling that way. So you would hope to see them lean into that, just to play to what I think personally think is within the skill set of a lot of these players, and let them go and do that. So hopefully we'll see a bit of element to that ability to mix it up, to play it short when you need to. And then once you've won that battle and it starts to pay off, it'll pay off in the long term because you're ready to go long as well. So just that bit of variance, I think, would be the number one thing that you would like to see happening in this year.
You mentioned a few people tipping Galway to win the All-Ireland and stop Limerick's drive for five. Could you see that this year?
I could absolutely see it, but I'm not gonna do it until the thing for me is I need to see. As much as I can understand the case for it and you're putting it together, I need to see the evidence now. I need to see evidence that all this what looks like really good work, all these really good appointments, is that paying off? Do we see that It's not a change of direction at all. It's just maybe an evolution of what has come before. But do we see the evidence of that over the next couple of months? So until we do, I'm gonna hold my cards close to my chest. But I can totally understand why people are tipping Galway. I absolutely see the case. But I just need to see. I need to if you know unless the title would go a long way towards assuring me that they have that capability. I'll put it that way.
Is the league important though too? Because last year it was a bit of a, it was an up and down league. But do you think for this management team and even new players, just to get a bit of momentum and I suppose a bit of a positive kind of attitude among supporters and the general public behind this team, like you mentioned, you could see them winning the league.
And that's well. There's a couple of different things there. I think it would help, as you mentioned, that positive attitude thing, and maybe just putting to bed what is any sort of hang-ups. I don't even know if there are hang-ups that this is. I'm speculating here, but any sort of hang-ups that might come with from the semi-final last year. I just think the way the cards have are lying, the way the chips have fallen here means that there's a lovely path for God to factor in that 1B. The fact that you have open with those first the four games that you do, I would say, I think a lot of teams will do a lot of stuff in hindsight and you'll attach one to the other. But I think if you really drill into it, I wonder will Limerick approach the league the same this year as they did last year? Because maybe this is forgotten, or it all comes out in the wash at the end of the year. But the way they started that Munster Championship was not convincing, and all the talk we'd heard prior to that was that. The players themselves had been mad keen to go hard for the league, to push, to do big blocks there, to make a statement, to go and win it as comprehensively as they did. Be very interesting to see is do they double down on that? Is that something that we see again? I'm not so sure. So all that taken into consideration, I think there's a lovely path. And look, and also Paul, that's everywhere matters. Like I can still remember Galway were by certain like journalists who I'd have a lot of time for, Galway were criticized rightly were like criticized heavily. For celebrating the league final the year before they won the All Ireland. That's like who did, you know? I think they even did might have done a small kind of homecoming thing. Maybe David Burke had called into a club on the way home or that kind of stuff and pictures had come out. But they got a bit of criticism, a fair bit of criticism about that. And I couldn't disagree with that more. I think silverware matters. That's how you get people interested. That's how you get supporters on board. No matter what you say, it's a bit of added intrigue. A day out in the final, all of that stuff is relevant. So I'm not saying it's you know, it's not totally irrelevant, and it's not the most important thing this year. Obviously, it falls down somewhere in the middle, but there is significance around a league title if they were to get one, and more so in terms of what it does for you bouncing into a championship afterwards and putting to bed any sort of lingering negativity from 2023.
Yeah, so it's the 7th this weekend for Galway, and then it's the 14th. So they play the losers of Laois and Offaly, and then whoever wins that, they play them the following weekend. If they advance there, they're out on the 21st in the semi-final of the Welsh Cup. You made one or two references there to the footballers. I was listening to Off the Ball, similarly like yourself, and you're nearly, if you're a kind of Galway supporter, and you're, I suppose, there's a lot of hype generated last year among the team that they were All-Ireland favourites for some people a lot of the time. Then you're kind of looking at and going on last year, it's kind of the last thing really you want to be hearing as a Galway supporter.
Yeah, and there's two sides to it, Paul. There's the obvious case in that they got to an All-Ireland final, looked pretty good in the league, got to a league final, won a kind of title, did a lot was asked of them. Evolved one of the criticisms, you go back to that 2022 final, one of the criticisms was that they went stride for stride for the guts of an hour and then maybe didn't have necessarily the bench to compete with Kerry's. And they seem to be putting that right. They got Peter Cook back, they got even Burke involved, they're evolving options all over the place. They're building a bit of depth in the squad. So you can see absolutely see why a lot of teams had their eye on them last year and that would carry into this year. You can also see the other side, there's a lot of I'd say there's a lot of frustration, maybe north of the border and places like Mayo and that, where they'll say, you know, we've played every year since whatever it was in 98. We've beaten Galway in knockout championship games. When it matters, they haven't delivered. The wheels fell off very, very quickly when you go back to that day in Carrick on Shannon and they flattered to deceive a week later. So I can see why it would rub people up the wrong way that Galway are being tipped. I can also see why people are tipping them. I'd probably fall down somewhere in between. I think they did a huge amount right last year. I think the lesson of Leicester Championship is to do what Galway did, and is that the only thing that matters is winning. You know, winning is a habit. They tried to develop that in the league, built it to the kind of title, and that the great what if of their season is that day in our minds. I still think they left. Geez, they left them off the hook that day. Not just the free at the end, but you know, they missed the penalty. There's a huge amount of chances in the second half. Even the way they were trying to close out the game in terms of keeping the ball, they gave it away to concede the point that ended up doing them. All of that will haunt them. So, and then you're spinning into a game against Mayo, and you're carrying the injuries that you were carrying. Sean Kelly is hobbling around. He said since then that he probably shouldn't have played. You missed a really not simple, that's totally the wrong word, but a really bright or promising goal chance in the second half, and that game gets away from you. So I'd say there's a lot of regrets about the way that year went, but Portrait said it. I remember talking to him in Pir Stadium after that game. You know, it's another sob story for Galway. He's not putting any truck in the idea that what ifs or that they come so close. And I'd say that's what he's trying to write this year. So I can absolutely see why teams are tipping them. I can see why there's a bit of frustration about the fact that they're being tipped. I probably fall down somewhere in between.
My biggest takeaway going into 2024 for the footballers would be that they need to find more scoring forwards. Because if you look at last year, when Shane Walsh obviously wasn't fit, he was in a boot, you mentioned, and Damien Comer then obviously just struggled with injuries. But like that game against Mayo, they really seemed to struggle for scores. Is that the biggest thing they need to find this year?
Yeah, to a certain extent, I think options is the thing, isn't it? It ties to what we're saying about the heritage. You would like to have, I think it would probably, for all the talk about the depth that they developed, it probably wasn't ideal that you go to Armagh and the player who, you know, Kieran O'Curran is coming on he's in the squad a couple of weeks and he's coming on and at the end of that game because you were short on options. So I think they're trying to develop that more and I suppose they're the kind of players that you probably want once you kick on. The only like there's two sides to that for me. Like there is, so you're trying to develop those players. You want to see them coming. I think you're very invested in getting your maybe a couple of more scoring forwards thing. But at the same time, for me, right, there, so that is all true. I agree with you on that. But at the same time, I do think that you would want to invest maybe the same or more in like. Shane Walsh was obviously injured. His form was poor even before he was wearing the boot. It just never caught from last year. Can you put that right? Damien Comer was haunted by injuries last year. From that time he went down against Roscommon, the second or
Yeah.
third league game in Pir Stadium, but never got a clean bill. And so for me, ironically, and I know some of the stuff is out of your hands, I totally appreciate that. But just from a, they have got, you know, some of the smartest S&C people in the country are within Galway. So there, and from a medical perspective, you would have an absolute question about that. But is there something you could do to make sure that the lingering injuries, that was one thing for me, Paul, and it was a frustration during the club championship for me as well, is that I think I might have said it to you after the semi-finals, that you're looking around, you're saying, and I was looking at players who struggled all year, and I'm saying, Jack Lynn still doesn't look right to me. Killian McDaid obviously wasn't right. Sean Kelly still obviously wasn't right. All of the same issues that you were carrying during the club championship were carrying into the or to the count to intercounty championship carrying into the club championship. So can you get that right? Can you make sure that Sean Kelly gets a clean bill of health? Can you make sure that Damien Comer gets a clean bill of health? Killian McDaid, like even before the leg, he still was struggling. It sounds like from your it sounds like right that maybe Jack Lynn is still struggling a small bit with things that are going on. This is a long like this, I think this is going back the start of the league. We saw very little of Patrick Kelly right up until the end of the club year. So can you get all that stuff right? Can you do absolutely everything, your maximum, to invest in that? As well as, I agree with you on the options thing, but I would just love to see those players get a clean run of health. And I think that would have got them in a very good place.
Who do you think can be those scoring forwards to add to go in as that?
I feel like I ring him up every time I go on the podcast now, but I'm a huge fan of Kieran O'Curran. There's no getting away from it. Every time I see him play, going right back to before the 20s year, we played him in a Comórtas game. He kind of single-handedly swung that game. We were beaten in extra time. Carried that form, I thought, into the 20s. Anything you've seen since, both in terms of the impact he apparently made when he was in with Galway, the fact that I think it showed a huge amount of trust that was the player that Galway turned to against Armagh that day when they needed something You saw the year that he had Urbanovic again. So he is a guy definitely that you would expect to see kind of kick on and do more. Beyond that, you've seen a lot of kind of, I think a lot of the Carfin lads, the likes of Jack McCabe has played a couple of the challenges. They're Galway playing NUIG in a or UCG. I'm going to do that. I said I'm making that mistake a lot this year. But they're playing them in a couple of challenger games over the next couple of weeks, and you're seeing like a lot of those Carfin lads involved. So we saw especially against Ballina, wasn't it? Ballina Stephen, the kind of semi-final that he really caught fire and kicked a great score. So can they take a jump and come in and make their mark? But I think it's the likes of those you're trying to get involved. There's lads who are around the panel last year, likes the Gerard Arvin and stuff. You may want to take a jump. There's a couple of right good wing forward options. Maybe lads from that development squad that you want to see take a step up. Going back to the team of injuries, Tom O'Connor has just been like he's been haunted. Like probably never really got a clean run of it last year. It ended up spiraling into the a club championship where he misses, like fairly cruel. Like you're going into a quarter final here, but he misses that game. You lose by points. I say, well, I think we all know Sotil have a lot of frustration around that. But I'd say he personally would love to get a clean run and maybe get a chance. And definitely, it seems like he will get it. He'll be afforded an opportunity if he can get that run. So it's the likes of them that we're hoping to put their hand up and to kick on. From a Sigerson perspective, then you might see that you've got Liam O'Callaghan, you've got Killian. That's a really strong Galway team, like a really, really
Yeah.
strong team. So you could see a lot of them maybe use that to kick on. That's another shop window basically. So yeah, like there's no shortage of potential candidates anyway.
You mentioned those players and that are injured in summer are still going to carry knocks. So for you mightn't even see some of these players in the FPD, but just with everything that went on last year, do you think there won't be, say, a rush to get these players back as quick as possible?
Yeah, I think so, and I think you'll probably see evidence of that. I'd say, but it won't apply because of the. I think park choices, in my experience, anytime you'd deal with him, he'd be very kind of he's pragmatic and he very ruthless. But at his heart, he's a competitive animal. Like he wants to win. I don't know, if that's a Mickey Mouse games, and he believes in playing games definitely. So he lets lads play Sigerson, but he is. He wants to win. So I don't think you'll see a huge amount of experimentation during the early stages of the league, especially because you start off against Mayo and Roscommon. If you win those games, then it gives you a bit of freedom towards the latter stage of it. If you lose them, you're looking down. And the nature of, because of the new championship structures, nobody wants to be in Division Two. It's just not where, whatever about winning a league and it's a big frustration from my perspective that we haven't fixed that gap between the league final and the start of the championship, that you still feel like you're punishing teams who make a league final. And I think we will see evidence of that again this year.
Yeah, just on that, if Galway get to the league final, they're going to be out a week later over in Ruislip.
Yeah, against London. And just for so for, just if you were to take that last year, it wasn't as big an issue from a Galway perspective because they went from the training camp. They actually flew on training camp the next that night, wasn't it? The Sunday night
Yeah.
they flew out. Whereas it was Mayo who got punished, in my opinion, by making the league final in that they were out a week later against Roscommon, and it was in hindsight, it's no great surprise that they were turned over that day. So I it's still a frustration that hasn't been fixed in my opinion, and I think you will see evidence of that in some teams. But so that all that said. I do think you will see a lot of those players get chances. It sounds like they've, which is only right, they've thrown the door open. They've brought in a huge amount of players. There's a lot of changes to the squad. They're playing challenge. They played Clare in the challenge game, as I mentioned. They played NUIG. So all of these players would hopefully kind of carry that in. Would get a chance definitely in the FBD. I think you will see it will be kind of a mix between what was the lads who are kind of on the fringes trying to take a step up, and then maybe some of these development lads are trying to come through, and that'll start to whittle down come the league. That's the you and then eventually fingers crossed it'll go the same way as last year, and we get a championship squad, and they kind of bounce that nicely in from the whatever happens in the league into that the kind of opening against London.
So just on the new Carfin lads, Oran Burke's obviously in there, Patrick Egan, Jack McCabe, and then Liam Six obviously returned along with Dylan McHugh, Kieran Malloy there. So a huge amount of them involved. As you mentioned, Ian Burke isn't involved this year, Owen Finnerty isn't involved this year. Are we still at the kind of guessing stage whether Peter Cook is going to be involved or not?
We're still at the I think so, yeah. I think he the work commitments thing is, I think that's an ongoing thing. I think maybe that has been wrongly portrayed in places. I don't necessarily think it's like a clear-cut decision. It's kind of an ongoing conversation about that. And whenever they're settled on it, as they did last year, for example, Parker will just come out and he'll let people know. That's the way he tends to do this type of thing. It's not, there's no great song and dance about it. So yeah, I think Tony Gill is in there, that isn't he actually? But and
Yeah.
then so that element is will come and go. I think there's probably the other side of Dennis, which is where, you know, it sounds like there's a huge amount of change, especially from a goalkeeping perspective. So you mentioned Oran Burke is in there. Conor Farty being back, I think, is a massive plus. Like I know I said that to you before, but I think it's a that's so that James Egan is in there. James Cain has been let go. I'm not gonna say any more about that because I'll be accused of being biased, but I would, yeah. I'd park that, but I think so. A lot of kind of evolution trying to throw the door open. I'd say a lot of these guys are going to get chances, have got chances in challenge games. This is all about building depth. It goes back to what we said from 2022 on. It's clearly something that they've identified, they're trying to put right. It was the whole point of the development squad in the first place. So it's only right probably that you start to see an evolution of that. So you see a lot of lads get an opportunity, I think, from a goalkeeping perspective, and the same principle applies to basically every position. And I on top of what you know, I know we've mentioned losing Ian Burke, but the question marks over Peter Cook. But on the flip side, when you see the likes of Sean McCarron back, and I mean from what you're hearing, but close to his best again, like the not a huge amount of consequences from that injury, kind of got club games under his belt. Mark Sheridan's spoken very positive about him in the last couple of weeks. I think that's a massive benefit, and it kind of gives you. That's just an option there. Three, maybe if you want to get John Kelly a line or two further up the field, you kind of have that freedom now. You'd hope to see the likes of Sean Fitzgerald, who you know started his first championship game against Mayo, that they were beating, maybe take a jump and continue to put their hand up. So options developing in a lot of this. I would say the way judging off the last couple of weeks, Paul, and the way multiple players are involved, I'd say we probably won't get clarity around this for a month or two. I think it'd be an ongoing thing before we kind of get that squad whittle down and we see who exactly actually is going to be part of the real panel for the in season 2024.
Dean Hernan's involvement, is that still unknown too?
Well, he played a challenging game. There's obviously been a lot of talk about is he going on Erasmus or not, but he's been involved so far. He played a challenging game. He's not involved with the Sigurdsson team. He wasn't named on that panel. But James McLaughlin was. James McLaughlin wasn't in on that panel. Another guy, there was a bit of talk whether or not he was going to go on a Erasmus yet. So I think a lot of stuff is open door is the wrong word, but I think a lot of stuff is an ongoing conversation. Like I think it's something that they're tending to work through. And maybe that's why. So I can understand why there was frustration when we weren't getting league or championship panels, and you want to know who's involved in the county. And I think it's only fair to supporters, really, in my opinion, to do that. At this time of the year, I can totally understand why there's a bit of confusion, a bit of unclarity, because I'd say that's the reality. I'd say there's lads still trying to tie stuff down, to work things through, all that sort of stuff. So, I can understand why at this time of year, we're still in the dark necessarily about someone like Peter Cook or whether or not Ian Hearn is going to be around, that sort of thing. That stuff will be, I'm sure there's a lot of journalists planning to be at an FBD game soon to ask Park about this. And in his own time, he'll confirm it when he sees a fit.
What's your view on games being played in the dome?
From as in how applicable it is to later in the year, or just in general?
Just in general, because like obviously you're playing in this and it's a great surface and players obviously prefer it to going out. Like if you see last night in the McGrath Cup and the O'Byrne Cup and the McKenna Cup, it's obviously better than going out in the piss and rain. But then you're like, it's 28th of January, you're playing Mayo, you're playing in probably Gaelforth Breeze in Pier Stadium. Like it's obviously good for players, but just to later in the year in the league and the conditions, like are managers in this FPD, are they really going to take anything out of these few games in the dome?
Yeah, in my opinion, I understand what is exciting about these games. I'm sure there's a lot of people planning to get tickets or the stream it. Nothing that happens in these games from a technical perspective and like that is relevant. Like you're not seeing tactical, not seeing realistic tactical work done here. It's very, very basic. It's not the stuff that they're working on for come down the line. These are physical exercises. This is a blowout. Like it's you watch the game themselves, they're like basketball. Like they're just given the nature of the surface, the fact that it can so fast, it's so quick, it's up and down. It's not for Galway aren't going to learn anything about their attack or their defense or their kickout strategy or anything like that in these games. I think these are they're a means to an end, Paul. They're a blowout. Personally, I'm not huge on preseason competitions. I think we could definitely get rid of them. I appreciate that there would still be games happening anyway that managers are going to fix challenges, but they can do that in their own time. There's not maybe the same focus or spotlight on it that there would be the likes of clowns like myself can. We're speculating about performances in these games. That wouldn't happen if there were challenges. So, as an exercise in what's coming down the tracks from a football perspective, you're getting very little, and they should be taken in that regard. You should view them in that context. But they are physical outlets. There's the element where players might put their hands up in them, and that will then lead up. Even that in itself, all that do is kind of build into maybe might earn a league opportunity. But there's nobody who's going to secure a championship starting spot in an FBD game in January. You're not going to learn a drastic amount about the Galway shape or system now. I think most people are kind of conscious of that too. I don't think anybody would take it for you would always take these games with a pinch of salt.
There's obviously going to be a huge amount learned for the management in 2023. So they have this game Friday week on the 12th of January. Galway Leitrim was able to win that. They play the following Friday, the 19th of January in the FPD final. There's obviously Roscommon are playing Sligo, Mayo are playing London. So the winners of that play each other. But then the 28th of January they play Mayo, and then a full round of fixtures go right through to the 24th of March, and then the league final on the 31st of March. Then it's London in a quarter final, and then Sligo Leitrim, and then a Connacht final on May 5th, and then they enter into this All Ireland series again. How do you see the 2024 season looking for Galway?
Good, promising. The league, I think the league could be a question about how it goes. Those first four games, you're welcoming Mayo away to Roscommon, and then you've got Tyrone and Derry. That's a gauntlet. Like there's so that could go either way, really. And I wouldn't necessarily panic about depending on that. I think it's more broadly about the kind of development options. All that like kind of lingering stuff from last year, if you could put more of that to bed, I think you'd be more encouraged. If you could see the lads we've mentioned, Rob Finley is something we haven't talked about. Again, another fella I'd love to just see get a bank of form. He's a class apart when you watch him with Sawtelle this year. It would only add to your frustration that he just couldn't get a. Again, going back to the first league game last year when he starts like a house on fire, kicks a great point, and just unlucky to catch it. His ankle is caught by a block, and that just seemed to spiral into all sorts of issues. That was his ankle. I know he had trouble with his back as well, and just never could really get the run that you want them to get. So players like that, if you could just see them get clean bats health, maybe there might be an element of going back to what you were saying earlier, element of management about them. And then the game itself, I think there is probably an onus to evolve it on ever so slightly. It seems to be something that they're pretty conscious of. Keane O'Neill actually did probably got lost because of it was over. I think people kind of tune out over Christmas and maybe it wouldn't be a reading. But Keane O'Neill, I encourage people to go back and check it. Did a great interview in the Irish Times over Christmas with Dennis Walsh, where he talked about the savage communities doing up from Cork to Galway every week. But he also talked in that article, a big frustration he had is the idea that everybody's playing the same, or that pundits who say managers and coaches are ruining the game. They all want to play the same. And he talked. We talked about the training drills they're doing with Galway that night, the night that he was doing the interview, and made it very clear the entire emphasis of their session was attack and counter-attack. That was what they wanted to play. He actually said in an article they would rather play teams like Kerry, Dublin and Mayo because they actually have the ability to demonstrate that that's the way they want to play. So hopefully we'll see that kind of lock in this year. I definitely do think there was games last year, the round robin game against Tyrone, especially when Tyrone went down to 30 men. We would just like to see them put the foot down a bit more, like just a bit more kind of aggressive when the opportunity was there to take it. So hopefully we see evidence of that. I think there's a lot of scope to see maybe a bit of adaptions. We're still not necessarily sure What are they going to do from a goalkeeping perspective? What are they going to do with three? What does that necessarily mean for Sean? Who's their inside line going to be? You've probably got, you've got Shane, Damien, and Rob, but all these, as we mentioned earlier, you want to see those other options maybe get opportunity, and can they kind of force their way in? So there'll be a bit of evolution that way too. But they're in a very good place, Paul. Like a huge amount of bank of work they're doing, a lot of consistency with their makeup of their back room, lads staying involved, all that sort of thing. So you would hope to see that kind of build nicely for the back end of the year, and maybe wouldn't put as much stock in. I know they will, because I think that's the way PJ is wired, but I don't think it's their season won't do or die in the same way from a hurling perspective. I don't think not winning a Connacht title would be a sucker blow for this Scotland team. I think they could very easily kind of keep going and make their mark later in the year.
Just before we finish, Mars, who are three players you feel that can make the breakthrough for the Footballers and Herders this year?
Okay, I'll start with the hurlers. I'll say I for me, turn it clean for me. Like I'm gonna double down on that one. I think I know physically he doesn't strike as much, but I do think Liam Collins is someone that they really like, and he's such a outrageously talented hurler that you'd love to see him maybe kick on a bit more. And the third one, I'd say, like, I'm tempted to go for a returnee for both. So if you're allowed, I think
Yeah.
I'm gonna lock on to Fintan for hurling, and I'm gonna say Sean McCurran actually for the footballers as well. But I think in terms of actual, like, a genuine chance to put whatever happened last year to bed, to have him really make the mark, that Brady Gunner thing for me fed into that. Geez, he was like a bull coming out towards the latter stage of that game, where he just made that zone his own. That's exactly what you want from your classic three, mind the house, just absolutely dominate that channel. Anybody comes into here, you're going to monster them. So I'll say Fintan. From the football, I think Sean McCurran back is, I think, as I got a player who is very unlucky with injury, but I think given our maybe lack of alternatives there, and maybe the promises that he was made in terms of get, or not the promises, but the way it was looking in terms of getting game time from a league perspective, I think Sam O'Neill could have a big year. I know his brother Jack is involved now as well, and again, that goes back to the idea of kind of feeding midfield options. But I just thought, coming off the back of the 20s, he was absolutely excellent, was involved in the squad. I for a lot of James's games, I thought just looked, he was like on really sodden pitches with hopping off the ground. Right, so I think what if Sam gets back over that knee injury and gets a bit of league game time, you could see that kick on nicely. I suppose I have to say Cillian O'Curry, do I? I'm gonna, for Conor Farty, for me, I think Conor might end up being the starting goalkeeper come championship for Galway. Up until that Roscommon league game, he was absolutely flying. His kickouts are excellent. I don't think it's an issue that he's not pending goals for his club, actually. So I can fully see why that might kind of kick on, and you'd love to see him evolve that way. But the great thing is you've no shortage of options for both. Like there's easy players who you go, I've given you four there now, so I'm gonna have to kick out somebody. And I'm definitely not kicking out Cillian, so I'll say
Just on Conor Flaherty before we finish, do you think the fly goalkeeper, like we see, say, for instance, like some teams play it, but it's not necessarily a fly keeper, but like Orrin Lynch's role for Derry, do you think that's something we could see Conor Flaherty play?
I don't think they're right. It doesn't seem to be the thing that Galway put a huge amount of value in. They might come out and get involved and be an outlet if they needed to, but not to the aggressive levels. We've seen very little evidence if that's something that they want. And look, I know I'm going to be accused of being biased here, but I analyze every single game in the Galway Club Championship last year. I'm watching all these players. That's what James Cain did. James Cain was involved. He'd over 20 possessions for Brandon. There was no evidence based on his club form that he shouldn't be back in with Galway if that's what they wanted. His kick-out retention was absolutely off the charts. He was involved in possession a lot more than a lot of other goals. So if that's about something they're looking for, I presume you'd keep a guy who was involved for 2 years there and give him an opportunity in the league maybe to demonstrate that. So it's clearly not something that I think looking at the key goalkeepers they brought in, to me, Paul, and maybe this is the thing that'll encourage other people. The thing they're putting a lot of stock in their goalkeepers is a boomer of a kickout. Do you have an Oran Burke kind of cannon that can get out around the middle? That seems to be something that they really put stock in. So I think Vlad does have that. Conor Gleeson has that. A couple of other lads who are involved do have that. So I think that's maybe something that they're trying to put stock in, and that's what we've seen more so from the goalkeepers, that they'll go hyper aggressive. We'll see them going long on a lot of their kickouts, and trying to maybe dominate around the middle. So that I think that's more so what you see from your goalkeeper rather than the. I don't see. I think we would have seen more evidence of it if that was something that they were going to. And it would be such a drastic pivot on what they've done previously. I don't think they'll go the same as aggressive as a Roy Began or an Orrin Lynch anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting now to see what players we're going to see involved, but that's all we do have time for on today's podcast. Thanks very much for coming on, Marsh.